My name is Monica Gleiberman, and you're listening to Silence on Set Podcast. On today's podcast, we're talking to Violet Brinton, who plays Stella Walker on the CW hit Walker. This season, Walker picks up right where season 2 left off in the sobering aftermath of the question, "Where's Dad?" Texas Ranger Cordell Walker, played by Jared Padalecki, has his hands tied literally, taken and held captive by an anarchist group who's determined to break him. Walker must face a painful memory from his past he's never shared with anyone and team up with an unexpected ally if he wants to get out alive. Meanwhile, fresh off her high school graduation, Walker's sharp and stubborn daughter, Stella, makes a decision about her future that creates rifts with her similarly wayward brother, August, who is determined to step out of his sister's shadow and be the big man on campus this year. So to talk about the evolution of Stella Walker, here's Violet Brinton.
Oh, like I was saying before you came on, I am so excited to have Stella Walker on my show today and talk to you about the entire, like, kind of Walker family, this crazy cast. And you are one of the last ones, so you get to hear all of the chaos that happened before you came on.
Oh my goodness, I'm so excited.
So welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here, and I can't wait to hear about all the drama and the chaos that proceeded.
the shenanigans that went on. So let's start off really quickly. I know, obviously, you're a couple seasons in, so this is not going to be like a new shocking question to you, but I wanted to know, you know, obviously you got the role of Stella. When you read, I'm not going to really ask you, like, why, like, you know, that whole process, you're years in, we're past that, but I wanted to know, when you first read about her and you auditioned and you did that whole process, after that happened, what changed in your mind from your initial "this is Stella" to Stella today?
Wow. That's a good question. I think when I first read for Stella in season one, especially like the audition scenes that I had in the pilot, like the girl was like grieving, you know, her mom had just died. She was so angry and hurt, and she had just so many emotions that she didn't know where to put. And a lot of that was like directed full of rage at like her dad. And so I think from then to now, she's gone through a really big journey of like finding her confidence and finding that what really drives her is like the loyalty to her family, and somehow like melding those two and finding like healing through her family. So she's gone through like a whole big arc of just being like pure chaos at the beginning of the first season to then being able to like give some words of wisdom here at the end of like season 3, which has been really fun to do.
I know. And I kind of feel like, if anything, it's very interesting because you would assume, I think, when you're watching the show, that August is going to be the most like Walker, right? Or like, I'll just say Walker or your dad. But I'll go by Walker, that you would assume he'd be the most like Walker, right? Because father like son, that kind of thing. I do see elements in that. And I spoke to Kel about it. But I do feel like there's a little more of Walker and Stella than there is, you know, in maybe another sibling, just because the way that she responds and how calm she is and strategic in her planning and fearless. Like the scene, you know, and I'm kind of going out of order, but there's the scene where the car, right, gets taken. And without like two shadows of like a question, like, you know, there's like no doubt, no question. She's like, "I'm getting this car back and I don't care." So you're breaking in the car, you're like stealing it, ready to take off. So I feel like she has that fearlessness in her. When her dad is, and these are just like various examples, when her dad is missing and she goes to the Rangers to help, and her help is answering the phones, she gets a little more involved than maybe she should have been, right? Answering the phones. But again, what is pushing her to do that? I feel like it's traits from her dad, not to outweigh the traits from her mom, but it's hard because as viewers, we don't we get to see flashes of that.
Yeah.
What we're seeing is really like her dad's influence and what's been going on in the past couple of years. So for you, do you kind of read through and have you like drawn that comparison? And then if you have you spoken to Jared about it in terms of the relationship, like that Stella seems to lean a little bit more towards maybe becoming a ranger, you know, like maybe like heading down that path. So do you guys discuss that at all and how you're going to work it out and how she's making those decisions?
Absolutely. Like, I definitely agree with you. Her and Walker are really similar. I think they're both super stubborn. I think they're very fearless. They're ready to like get in the action and do what needs to be done to help people, to help their family, to stand up for what they believe in. And I think probably that's why they butt heads a lot, because they're so like passionate and ready to go. And like, yeah, I think Stella definitely is more action oriented. So I could see her going in those directions with like helping people through whatever that may be, like ranger or like the horse stuff, you know. I don't know what they have planned for Stella in the future, but I think that would be very fun to explore, because I definitely think she does have some very serious similarities between her and her dad.
Do you think that because of the similarities and because they're both stubborn, do you
Yes.
think that's the reason why, you know, it got me so frustrated this season when, you know, Cordell was giving so much slack for August and assuming the worst of Stella. And I was like, oh, it's like, you know, as viewers, we're watching and we're going, no, you're so wrong. And what's frustrating is like, you're a ranger and you would think that he would pick up. But you're blind, right? With your family, like you're not looking at it in the same way. So it's so frustrating watching because I was going, she's not, she's doing all the right things. So when you're doing all of those scenes and you're having to deal with her not being believed and her voice not being heard, I mean, Abilene, I think, was the one that was the most in her corner. But how does that, like, you know, work out for you in terms of bringing that on screen, because it's very typical for, I think, women and especially young women to not be listened to and to not be heard. So it's like you want to do it. And again, like I'm not trying to speak for you, but I would assume you want to do it in a way where it's like, yes, this is the storyline and I'm not being heard and I'm following what they're telling me. But you also want to do it in a way where you're like, but I should be heard and we're going to show you why it's so wrong that I'm not being heard. So,
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I
oh,
was
go ahead.
reading it and I got so frustrated because, like, I've been there with Stella, you know, she's like made a lot of mistakes. She's like done things that she regrets, and she finally gets her act together and she's doing these things that are like the right choices. And it's taken her a long time to get there, and she's finally there, and yet she's still getting blamed for all this anyway. And there was so much like frustration and hurt and anger. And like helplessness, because you're like, I didn't do that. I did the right thing this time, and nobody's listening to me. And yeah, that was a lot of fun to play with. And getting to have that bickering with August and Kale was a lot of fun too, because they were kind of like pitted against each other for a little bit.
And I wanted to ask you about that too. When even when the show first started, the relationship between you and Kale or August and Stella right away was chemistry of a brother and sister. So was there anything that you guys like discussed at all, or was it more of like, okay, hi, it's nice to meet you. We're starting the show, cool. And then the show starts and then it develops over time, or was it both? Like, how did you guys create the relationship, because you're like the ultimate brother and sister. I mean, with all the chaos that goes on in this show, you guys are the ultimate brother and sister to get kind of through the chaos.
I love Kale. He's amazing. I remember when we first booked the roles, there was like a period of a couple months in between when we booked it to when we started filming, because I think COVID happened and we couldn't film. And I remember Kale reached out to me over Instagram before we even got down to Texas, and he was like, "Hey, I'm Kale. We're playing brother and sister." And I was like, "Oh my goodness." And so we like started texting, and then once we started filming, we would hang out and run around and get lunch. And he's such a sweetheart. And I definitely feel like there is a sibling bond between us. Like, I realized the other day that when we started filming, he was like 14 or 15, and I think I was 18, and now he's like almost an adult. And I was like, oh my God. He's grown up on this show, and I'm like, and it's, I just love him. He's like my little brother. It's true. I
Huh? Well, you've grown up on the show.
know, I have to.
So, wow, I didn't know that there was that much of an age difference between the two of you. So when you guys first started. So,
I think he was around 15, and I think I was 18, maybe.
oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. But and that would make and I guess that makes sense too, and it probably helps because the she's supposed to be the older, right? Like, is it fun in terms of like working on the ranch and having the horses? And I know now currently her the storyline obviously is that you guys are having a horse rescue and you're taking care of all these beautiful horses, but I'm like mixed with it because on one end the ranch is beautiful and the horses are amazing and like that's all great, and then the other end it's like a nonstop like shootings and stabbings and fires and chaos happening. So is it fun to play the extreme differences? Do you prefer one more than the other? Do you have like a favorite scene from one more? Like, you know, like how do you kind of navigate? 'Cause I feel like my brain would be cut in half. It was like, these are all the good scenes and all the good stuff I have to do. Here's all the chaos and like craziness that I need to do. So how do
Honestly,
you deal with that?
I love the chaos. I love the chaotic scenes. I love the depressing, like action, sad, angry scenes. I think those are the funnest to play. But then it's nice to have the balance of like Walker family breakfast and like getting to have like the nice family moments on the ranch. I think that's what makes the show so special is having the both of those. And having the balance and seeing them in comparison to each other is what makes it like Walker. It's what makes the show, I think.
And so many actors that I've spoken to from the show have talked about freedom, that there's this freedom on set to kind of, you know, be able to say, hey, listen, I don't know if my character would have said this, or hey, I got this idea, or can we switch this? So I a lot credit, you know, Jared or, you know, people kind of all the way down. In terms of that freedom, what has that freedom given you, and how has that changed your approach at playing Stella?
It's given me a lot of confidence coming into scenes. I think it's true that our set is very open and friendly and warm, and there's always like a sense of family, and there's no like egos or like intimidation or anything like that. It's a very safe space to like speak up if you're not comfortable doing something, or to be like, I think I want to play it this way. So there's always that opportunity to be like heard and to try something new and to fail if you fail. So I think it's given me the comfortability to try things that I wouldn't necessarily have in a more intimidating or more closed off environment because the people there are just so they're so supportive and they're all here to like make the best show possible and to work hard and to have a good time doing it. So yeah.
So before I get into the good time stuff, some of the juicy stuff that we'll get into, I wanted to ask you, and I'm sure everybody has asked you this, but what is it like, you know, you're younger than me. So what was it like, you know, finding out, yes, you nail the show, but then you find out your dad's gonna be played by Jared, which I'm assuming, I mean, maybe not because you're younger, but that, you know, Supernatural that he was on and he was super famous for that show. And you're like, okay, cool. So, like, what do you think in your mind? You're like, okay, I'm gonna show up. So, were you like nervous when you first met him? And then, what have the conversations kind of evolved with him? Because there's so many scenes of you guys together in particular. There's a lot of family scenes, but there's a lot of scenes between you and him. So, have conversations evolved over time where he's given maybe advice or certain things to do, or shift your body this way, or if you look at this, or this is how you should approach it, you know, whatever the case is. How are those conversations going from like day one to now?
I mean, obviously, like, I watched Gilmore Girls, I watched Supernatural, like, so I
Love
was
that you threw Gilmore Girls in there too. Let's make him even older. So yeah, let's talk about Gilmore Girls. Let's talk
it's an
about
amazing show.
it is an amazing show. And by the way, it's funny that you should say that because I just did like small crossover. I just did the full cast of Maisel yesterday.
Oh,
So
nice.
little Gilmore Girls crossover there, but yes, it is an amazing show, by the way. But
That's great. So yeah, I was nervous, like getting just starting a new show and then getting to meet Jared. So you never know what to expect. And of course he's like so kind and so charming and so warm and welcoming and funny that it was just like super great right off the bat. And he's so smart when it comes to acting, and he's so smart when it comes to film. Like the way his mind works, where he's able to think of like the lighting and the cameras and his lines and the storyline in the whole and everybody's perspective in the scene and how best to showcase that is so impressive. Like sometimes he'll be like, think about this when you're like doing the scene, just remember this, and it like opens up your mind in such a way, and you're like, how are you able to like multitask thinking about all this stuff and then have like a really brilliant understanding of the characters and their relationship and what just happened. So it's been really, I've learned a lot and I'm still kind of in awe and in question of how I can steal that power because I want
you're like, rub off on me, please.
it. Yeah.
Is there like one piece of advice that he's given you that you've kind of repeatedly used over the seasons?
I've definitely started to try to I haven't always had the experience of like working on a set and like thinking about other people's jobs and how to adjust myself to like make this scene as a whole better, and watching him do that and watching his understanding of like the way the cameras move and how to affect the lighting has really made me appreciate it and want to emulate that as best as possible because that's such an important part of acting that you don't really think about because you just kind of think of like of the acting itself and not about the whole of making and filming a scene.
Yeah, and so did the viewers, right? It's like we forget.
Yeah.
Sometimes people go, "Oh my gosh, you know, I hope there's another season or if this happens." And I go, "Yeah, you guys, also there's 500 plus people that are like also there that are hoping there's another season." You know, like that there's so many people involved. I've
Yes.
heard that the best idea wins on the set. So is that so that's and that could be from anybody. So that could literally be from and I've heard there's been like, you know, cameraman, there's been behind the scenes people, there's just been like random people that are like, oh, if this isn't working, what if you tried this way? So it's been a fully open, communicative set, and it's like, best idea, that's what, and it works, fixes the.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like the first we had, I think Jared like set the tone and was like, basically it's best idea wins. Like whoever puts it on the table, there's no ego and we'll go with that because it's about making a whole project. And that's how he set the tone from the very beginning. And it's carried through for 3 seasons and it's been really exciting and fun and creative to see that happen.
So to jump a little bit into the fun before, because this show is very dramatic. So before we get into like more drama, let's talk about, I'm going to go into, which is what I talked with everyone. Let's get into this group chat. So there's this group chat, which everyone, if you've been listening to all these podcasts by now, have heard about this group chat. So that you guys all discuss various things in there. So with Jeff, I think the last, so I had everybody look at it. So, Jeff, the last pull up he had was it was pictures of Jared. I think it was Jared's daughter's birthday, which I feel like, you know, and we were like, I think that's okay because that's kind of like public that people know that. So he didn't show it to me. I said, don't show it to me, but like, but he was scrolling through. So he goes, yeah, so it's pictures. And then he told me a whole story about how Jared and well, it really started with, I guess, with Keegan. With Keegan about the watches, that he's obsessed with watches and coffee. And so then the watches went on to him and Jared being obsessed with watches. And now Jeff said somehow he got torn into it. So the last few messages were about a photo of Jared with his arm cut off, and it was like a watch was there, and there were and Jeff was saying, I see, like, you know, I spot with my eye a watch and blah blah. So then fast forward, we get to Kobe, and you know, it's been a couple days or whatever. So I was like, Kobe, what's going on in the chat right now? So he's like, all right, let me look. So he like pulls it up and he starts scrolling through, and he's like, oh my God. He's like, all right, let me explain. And I'm like, oh no. So he said, you know, he's a GIF guy. He's like, I love a good GIF. He's like, I'll
Yes.
put in like anything that I can. So he was saying that they were talking about, he said after the watches there was like crickets, like nobody responded. And then you guys were talking about something related to, said like a town wrong.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yes. And then like this has become a thing where,
Corpus Christi.
yes.
I
And so
think
he was
that was it.
talking about that. And so, and then he said that Jared would say it every single table read and like anytime it came up. So that came up in the chat. And so he was talking about that. So now that I've come to you don't have to share if you don't want to, but
Okay.
where are we in this group chat at this point with crazy group?
It gets so active sometimes. Like, if you wake up a little later in the day, you'll have 100 notifications
What everyone keeps telling
going
me.
through it.
And then it's so funny because they're like, well, it'll be like a day or two and it's like quiet. And then I wake up and there's like a million, and then there's like emoji. So someone that like Jeff was like, I'm an emoji person. Kobe's like, I love GIFs. And they said there's a lot of making fun of each other, you know. So I've heard crazy stuff. Kale was telling me, and Kale was one of the first. So Kale was like, it's kind of like quiet right now, but we're actually talking about, you know, and then he was going through what just about the show and how everyone misses everyone. So we've kind of gone through a little gamut of a storyline of this chat.
Aww.
So where are we now? If you don't mind sharing.
The last thing that was sent in the Walker group chat, Kale sent a video that his friend Max sent him of
Free
the
coffee and stick to a raw food diet. I mean, that was
I
Kale.
don't know what that is. But Kale sent it in the group chat, and Molly said, God bless Kale indeed.
That's amazing. So that's a clip of Jared. I think that's
Think so.
Supernatural. I think that's from
I
right.
probably. I don't know
I would
what he's
like,
doing.
I have to message Kale now and be like, what was that video of, like, how did that come across your desk to like send that in? So the last
Yeah.
is a video of Jared. So as
Yes.
usual, and what, and the common theme here that I've been finding is making fun of Jared seems to be like
Yeah.
common goal in this theme in this chat. So
That's a big part of filming this show, is just making fun of Jared.
that's amazing. I told Kale, I'm like, I told actually everybody, I think. So people are probably like, oh my gosh, Monica, stop. But I told everybody, I'm like, I need in on this chat. So it was really funny. I Kobe was saying, so you'll have to help me with this. I feel like you'd be good with this one. Kobe
Okay.
was like, well, listen, we do a lot of our table reads virtually. I was like, oh, okay. And he's like, so what if we, like, you know, obviously we're hoping for a renewal. So what if, like, next season, our first table read, if we do it virtually, we just like add you in. Like you just like come into the room. And he's like, and like we just mock it where like Jared has no idea what's going on. And you're in there and you're going, hi, no, I'm with production. No, I'm here. And like I just play like a role and I'm supposed to be reading. And he goes, you could be like the narrator. We have someone that like narrates it. It's like you can be like the narrator and then get mad. Like if he doesn't know like why you're in there, like be like, what are you talking about? The network contacted you. And he's like, could you do it? And I was like, oh, I could do it. I was like, for sure. Like I've known Jared a long time. I was like, I could do that. So he's like, we gotta do it. He's like, we gotta sneak you in to, and I was like, listen, you tell me when, I will make it happen. And so we were just like laughing about me randomly.
I love that idea.
Everyone wants to prank him. So that was the idea we came up with.
We'll just send you a link. We'll just sneak you in. It'll be
That's what
great.
Kobe said. He's like, I'll just send you the link and like just pop in and just act completely normal, like you're supposed to be there.
Yeah.
And
You've
I was
been
like,
here for the past 3 seasons.
I know. And well, and it was so funny too, because he was like, just like totally act like normal. And I'm like, listen, Kobe, I could do that. So when we stopped recording, so now people will hear this. This is new. When we stopped recording, I was like, let's just do it really quick, like play with it. So Kobe's like, okay. All right, so you're in. And I'll be like, all right, you guys, come on, guys, stop talking. Hello. You guys, we need to get together. Enough shenanigans. Can we get started, please? Please turn to page one. And like, so, and we started doing it. And then he was dying. And he was like, oh my God, he will die. Like, and he's like, I think Jared, and he's like, I think he's nice enough where he won't know what to say. So like, he might go with it. But he's like, but his face is going to be priceless because he's going to be like, I don't know what's going on and I don't know who this is. And so,
Yeah.
yeah, and like, we'll run like a couple pages and then just like tell him, you know, like, that it's
Like
me.
you won't think it through because you're
Right.
just, what's going on?
What the hell's going on? So I like, so that's our goal, hopefully.
I
So
love that idea.
be like super fun if we pulled like some sort of crazy prank on him. So that's
Agree. Let's do
what
it.
we're hoping on. Yeah, so we'll talk more in detail at, not on the recording,
Yes.
but yeah, I think that would be kind of fun. But so that's the latest with the group chat. So interesting. I wanted to also ask you, so shenanigans.
Okay.
This is a group of crazy shenanigan people. So I have heard so far. So we'll see if you could add to this. I'm sure you can. I've heard there were, let's see, there has been the running scene where all the guys were running on a regular basis.
Yes.
Jeff said I felt like Jared was getting dropped off because like he would just like take off and he would like show up and not be sweaty and he'd be totally fine. He's like, and the rest of us are dying. And he's like, and we'd be doing it take after take. And I'm like, did you catch a car? Like, did he like pull you? So like, he was saying, I feel like there's shenanigans going on there. He's like, I feel like there's something I haven't caught yet about just not running and doing that. I have heard about the what are they called? Like the ATVs or whatever that everyone was driving, and
Yes.
a little bit of an accident that took place out of the guys being crazy and racing them and.
Boys.
Yes, all the boys. It was funny with Molly. She was like, it's always the boys. She's like, it's not like she's like, we're not doing anything. But she's like, they're always off doing something. So yes, so they were racing them and then one crash and chaos there. I have just heard shenanigans in between filming, things like that. So is there some shenanigans you feel like sharing about this group and some of the fun stuff that goes on in between sets or things we might not know. I guess.
Oh, I will say it is always the boys. The girls are perfectly behaved. But there's like in front of the ranch house, there's like a hitching post. I think you see it in the show quite a bit. And the boys will all go over there and put their hands on it and sit and start doing pull-ups and trying to like compete. And then they'll have push-up contests in between scenes and like try to out push up each other. It's a constant wild times on the Walker set.
I know Molly was like, there's a lot of testosterone. When I spoke to Kale, and I'm going to ask this question to you because I also think kind of applies to you. So you knew Jared, you brought up earlier, you know, Gilmore Girls, Supernatural. Kale had kind of known it. So I said, you know, it's so sad because for some of the other shows, like the Winchesters, there's so much supernatural in there, right? Like there's so much crossover and they get that connection. But you guys got a little bit of it because Jensen came to direct twice. And
Yes.
you also had a whole kind of supernatural-ish, you know, episode nod. You had Kansas and all of those things. So I asked Kale. Kale added one was a carnival situation where they were both hitting that thing where like it goes up and hits the bell and everybody was watching and it was like who was better at it between the two. I know that there was like making fun of the chair because I saw that on Instagram, like the different names were being put on the back of Jensen. There. And then Kale told me something new, which was while you guys were filming the Kansas scene, that randomly in one of the takes, Jensen acted like he was an extra holding a cup, like drunk, walking through. And Kale was so funny because he goes, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. He's like, was I supposed to like ignore it? Am I supposed to like respond to it? Am I supposed to be laughing? So then ultimately I was like, well, what did you do? And he's like, I did nothing. I just did nothing. So, what was your experience like seeing Jared and Jensen together? And is there anything that I haven't heard yet that has happened between the two of them and you kind of experiencing your own little bit of supernatural?
It was a blast, honestly. You could definitely tell how like tight-knit they were. And I remember that the scene where we were like all at the Kansas concert and we were like singing along. And I remember the first time Jensen came, like cause he like shoved his way through like the seats. And I remember thinking and seeing, I was like, who is that guy in the middle of our scene that's like pushing his way through? And I didn't realize it was Jensen until like the second time. And I was like, what is going on? Because he did it like 3 times and it was great. But yeah, it was a lot of fun getting to kind of tap into the supernatural show and the supernatural-ish niche vibe that they had going on. It was really fun to have that crossover.
Did they do anything else that you saw? Like, so, because I
I
feel like there's a lot of shenanigans between the two of them,
know.
so.
Yeah, I know there was some basketball hoops at the carnival that everyone was tossing and doing ball games with, and I think Jared and Jensen both enjoyed that as well. I think it was just like fun getting to see them work together and like ha see them with their banter was very funny. It was great.
And how was it with Jensen directing? Obviously, I'm like, well, it must have went good because he came back more than once. But what was that like too? Because I do an impression, which like, fans will probably kill me, but I've seen Jensen and Jared on set. I covered Supernatural the whole run. So this is my impression. You can tell me if I'm wrong. So far it seems right, but of Jensen. So like he has the headphones on. The camera, the village, video village, like for people, if you haven't listened to the other podcasts, they're kind of like a little setup and it's kind of like a little screen. And when you're directing, you can kind of see what's in the screen and the shots and things like that. So he'll be at video village, headphones on, like this, super close to the video, right? And then the second it's cut, he flings off like the headphones and then runs right on to the set to like, whether it's to give advice or be like, that's great job. So that's kind of like my go-to with Jensen. And then sometimes he'll say like one thing, and that's like me kind of making fun of him. But then when he's on the set, he'll say like one or two things, and you're like, ooh, okay, no, that makes sense. And it's an actor's director, right? So like he'll say something, and you're like, ooh, perfect. And then I've also seen him kind of fling them off, fling the headphones off, walk on and tell Jared something, which is more like, la, 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 and then Jared just like starts walking off or like, doing something and giving him a hard time. So was that a similar type of aspect of the direction on Walker between the two of them?
Yeah, definitely. I was actually going to say when you were speaking, Jensen gave like great direction that really helps you just like step into the scene, and is really helpful from like an acting perspective. And I think there was a couple of if I remember correctly, there was a couple of times where Jensen would come up and give like Jared like a do better direction as like a joke. And I think it was just fun seeing their interactions and seeing how they like teased each other while the direction was happening, for sure.
Yeah, I just love when he throws the headphones off.
Yes.
He just like throws them and then just takes off. I'm like, oh, he's on a mission.
He's
But
getting to work.
yeah. But I was so glad that you guys got to experience that
Yeah.
because I, it's fun. And then for like Walker Depends, they get a little bit of it. And Jared made an appearance on the show, so it's like a little family. And I always joke that Jared and Jensen are like my. I mean, listen, I'm not that much younger, but. I do like to admit that they're older than me, but I feel like they're like my dads in terms of I'm covering all their shows. So it's nice to hear kind of how they're all kind of crossing over and they're all working really well together and all the
Yeah.
cast is doing really well. So it's just nice to hear them and hear all the chaos that they're imparting on all of you younger people
For
that's still happening.
sure.
But to kind of switch back now a little bit back into the drama of the show, let's talk Grey Flag. So for you, how do you put into, did you, I guess like, did you do any prep in terms of what it would be like to be playing a Texas Ranger's daughter? Because I feel like that's like a nonstop 24/7 fear. It's almost like when, your father, sibling, whoever is either in the military, police officer, that constant fear of like just not knowing what's going to happen. And on this show, it seems to come up quite a bit where we don't know what's
All
going to happen.
the
Yeah, like, and he's like always missing or taken. And I want to joke, you know, I sent a message to Jared and joked, and I said, "You're really not a good ranger." Like, and he was like, "What?" He wrote, because I was like, "Well, dude, you're taken like every 5 minutes. Like, come on." But there's always so much going on the show. So I wanted to know first if you kind of like prepped at all to handle that and that kind of grief and what that would be like, and to try to portray it in a way that you felt would be a as accurate as you can, you know, with not experiencing that. And then also hearing the storyline of gr the gray flag situation and where that kind of arc is going and how serious that was going to get. Were you like, okay, like, how do I prepare for this? And make that kind of work for Stella.
Yeah, definitely. I remember when I first got the part, like I did a bunch of research about what it's like to be a daughter of someone who's like in the military or who's in the police force, 'cause you don't know what could possibly happen when your parent walks out the door and what injuries they're gonna come back with or if they're gonna come back at all. And especially with the fact that she did lose one parent, then that's a constant fear, like quadrupled, because her dad's in a job where he could be seriously hurt or kidnapped, like he is quite a bit. And so that comes up a lot, and it's just something that you have to learn to live with. And then it's exasperated when dealing with such like powerful and dangerous forces and groups like they do with like Gray Flag. And so I definitely did a bunch of research on that and tried to portray it as close as possible to what I thought would be reality and accurate. And yeah.
And then like, well, and the Gray Flag storyline is very heavy, and it
Yes.
starts off very like very short, right? With like little pieces kind of being revealed. So to, I guess to kind of like pick up a little bit on the second half of the question, you know, there's a scene where Cordell and Cassie are transporting materials, right, that are in a box. It's beeping, so they open it. And when they open it, they find like all of this information. And there was a line in there. And there was a line in there where they said something like, "You're opening Pandora's box." And right away I went, oh no, like gray flag's not only gonna get worse, but like I feel like something is even behind that coming that's even worse than that. So screeners or whatever. So I'm like freaking out. And so gray flag slowly starts kind of like becoming an issue. So is it for you, I guess, a better way of phrasing it is it harder for you or easier to have like a longer arc of something that Stella has to deal with? Like, I again, I know that she wasn't like fully aware of what was going on with Gray Flag, and she's not given like a ton of information, but I feel like she gets the vibe like that there's something that's bothering her dad for a, like a longer than normal. Like, it's not like a quick case that he just kind of like wrapped up. So there's something going on that's happening for weeks. And I think there's even a line in the show where someone says, like, you know, I think it might be Mitch. It might have been Mitch that says something like, you know, "Where has he been? He's been gone for like weeks," or like, "He's barely here." So it's noticeable that something's going on. So when there's like a storyline that's kind of stretched like that versus like in comparison versus to him getting kidnapped and beaten, and that's like, you know, one that's kind of like a 1 or 2 episode thing. Is there a difference in you as an actress to portray those differences? That there's something that's a little shorter, that you're, I mean, there's panic regardless, but there's something that's shorter versus something that seems to be a little longer and you're not getting all the information, something's wrong, like that kind of thing.
Yeah, I definitely think there's a mounting of tension when it's like carried out over multiple episodes and it's like a bigger arc. And you can definitely tell when something's like going on in your family and there's a lot of stress or danger around certain things. I think that rubs off. And of course, she's like worried and aware of that and in tune with that versus where all like when he was kidnapped, all of the emotion was like packed into those like first two episodes where this kind of like gradually like reveals itself and mounts in tension and stress over a period of time. So like the performances themselves are quite different, even though they're like accessing the same emotions, if that makes sense.
No, it does. And that's exactly what I wanted to know, because I'm not an actor. So like I don't know how you do that. So it's just, I guess you do like little by little. So in a storyline where it's building versus a storyline where it's quicker, like an
Yeah.
episode or two, is that something that you're like slowly building emotionally yourself as Stella? So are you going, okay, today I'm going to be like 10% emotional, and then like, next week I'm going to be 20%. Like, how do you kind of build it up to make it to a point where it's about to explode because things are getting so serious?
Yeah, I think the writing on the show is so great that you can read a scene and it reveals itself as to like what you're supposed to bring to it. And then you get to set and you sort of have an idea, and then like one of our directors or like Steve Robin will be like, here's where you are, like remember like what's happening, remember like the seriousness of the situation and like what's going on with Walker and with the family. And it really just kind of like transports you and helps you access the right awareness and emotion and like emotional state that you're supposed to be in for that particular scene. And then it just slowly builds. Yeah.
So let's talk about Kevin.
Okay.
I was a little skeptical right off the bat. And listen, I love Jake, but Supernatural, Jake has that face where like you just don't know. And on Supernatural, you just didn't know that if he was good or bad and things didn't, necessarily go that great. So when I saw him on there, I was very excited because, it's a Supernatural person and that's fun. I love that the guys all do that. But right away, I was like, ooh, I am nervous. And then when he started being in the house, and helping out the horse rescue for no, and this sounds terrible that we had like we're this like cynical.
Suspicious
Like,
of good.
like we're so suspicious because like when he was like, yeah, I'm helping and I'm donating right away, I'm like, oh no, like why are you donating money? And I'm like, that's weird, and like why are you helping them? And so then I got like, how was the Thanksgiving episode for you filming it? And kind of like the implications of where it was like leading. And then did you know at that point or not yet? Because I know scripts come out, slowly sometimes. Did you know that Kevin was ultimately going to be the one? And this whole time is like in your house talking to you, friends with you, giving you money, like that he was going to be the one that was heading Gray Flag.
The Thanksgiving episode was an absolute an amazing time. I think it's so much fun when everybody gets together because it's just pure chaos and you have to wrangle everybody to pay attention, and there's so much laughter and there's so much to watch and like pay attention to. It's like overwhelmingly like exciting. Those are my favorite scenes to film ever. So it was a blast. I think I really liked Kevin's character in the beginning. At first, I was like, huh, that's a little suspicious, but he's like so charming. He's endearing. And then I started getting a little suspicious as I was reading the scripts. And then I think I heard in the makeup trailer about the plot twist. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. That's interesting. And I think that was around, I want to say it was around maybe like right after the Thanksgiving episode that I heard about it. But I was like, ooh, that's very so exciting. I love all like the plot twists and the drama and seeing that how that plays out, especially with like Cassie and all that stuff was very interesting.
Well, first of all, I feel so bad because either Cassie picks bad men or bad men are just attracted to Cassie. Like, I feel terrible for her.
I know. Stella's right there with her, man.
That's true. That's true. There's like weird men that seem to get attracted to the Walker women or those around them. But yeah, that episode, I think I love that twist. I loved the idea. But I will say this, once I sort of suspected it, and then when it was confirmed in the episode when Trey goes under and then he meets him, right away I went backwards in my brain and started going, how many times was he in their house? And like, what was he doing? So did you do any of that where you were like, wait a minute, like there were, like he was here for Thanksgiving, he came for the horse He cuts his thumb. So, like, that's what I was doing. I'm going in to
It was
cut my thumb.
around August, like all by himself at the sidestep.
Yes. So, were you starting to go, are there more things I don't know that are going to come out soon?
Oh yeah, definitely. There's always like it's always interesting when you're reading the script because you know like stuff's gonna happen and you know there's gonna be like questions and plot reveals. And like you'll hear like rumors of them around set or like whispers of them. And I just like I'm dying to know like as I go through the season because I know there's just so much there that's gonna be revealed.
Yeah. And by the way, I was laughing because when you said hair and makeup, I'm like, they always know. Like, and I know
Those
it,
girls.
they know all the good stuff. Like, any set I've ever
They
been
know everything.
on.
All
Yes.
the secrets
How,
go to
everything.
hair and makeup.
Everything. And I guess it's because, like, you're in there for so long and everybody's in there. So, like, they tell stuff. But
Yeah.
any set I've ever been on, if I want to know something, I was like, just let me know. I won't say anything. They're like, oh, I'll tell you. So this is a, and I'm like, how do you know? Like, and they just know everything. So I started laughing when you were like, I think I'm in the hair and makeup. I was like, yep, yeah, that sounds about right. But heard it there.
That's where I get all my information.
All like all the good juicy gossip happens
Yeah.
in the hair and makeup. It's just so funny. Before we talk kind of closer to the finale, I think we're I'm always behind because I've seen them early. So I think there's two episodes left to air, I think. When I spoke to Molly, we were on episode 13. So that was like, I think a week ago. So 14 would have aired. So I think there's two left, I think. But so I was asking everybody just like, things that you would want to do or like fun things. So I asked Kale, do you guys get to drive the car ever? And then he was like, no, they won't like let me drive anything. And he said, like, you got to drive like a little bit, like, very short, like in things like that. So I told Kale, so I'm making various promises that hopefully is really just edging my way to get on set. You guys would know that I haven't been on. So like I'm edging my way down there. So I told Kale, I'm like, listen, I will, if I come down there, obviously I have to rent a car. If you have your license, or like, if you're like newly driving, I said, you could just drive the car. Like we'll go to the ranch set, and just drive around. So then he told me to make sure I get extra insurance on the car. He was like, get extra insurance. You don't know what's gonna happen there. Molly told me that she's like terrified of horses. So I was like, we need to have like a kumbaya. So I said, I'll bring some carrots. We'll sit down. We'll have a kumbaya moment because I was like, horses are beautiful. Like, we'll make that work. So I've been trying to, I'm solving some walker issues here behind the scenes. So is there something that you have not been able to do that you either want to do, or is there something that you're like terrified that I can come in, pushing my way onto set next season, come in and help you with? And get done.
Well, I'll tell you a fun fact. It was solved like 2 months ago, but for the first 2.5 seasons, I did not have my driver's license because I'm a late bloomer in that area. And so the car, the Mustang, is it's a stick shift, and I didn't have my license. And so they had Kimmy, my absolutely amazing badass stunt double, do a lot of the driving and teach me how to do the stick shift. And then I didn't know how to drive. I'd done like driver's ed like twice, but I'd never driven a car before when I got to season one. And so they like legitimately taught me how to drive. And thankfully I learned and I got my license like 2 months ago and I passed the test. But I can say that I learned how to drive on season one of Walker in a stick shift Mustang taught from Kimmy and Chad, our amazing stunt team.
And stick shift is like super hard.
It
Like
is so difficult.
it's so hard. Yeah. So I mean, if you learn that, you can basically drive anything.
I stalled so many times and they kept putting like poor Kale, they put kept putting him in the car with me or have him like run beside the car. And I was like, I just have to go straight. I just have to go straight. Don't run him over. Don't run him over. And they
Like
kept putting
practice
him in
in
dangerous situations.
You're like, just try to stay in like second gear. Just try not to like, you just never want to go to third. Third gear is just like
Oh.
terrible. But yeah,
No,
you're
I stayed solidly in first.
okay. You didn't go above fast enough to go above first. That's so funny. Oh, it's like that's very difficult. I learned, and I'm terrible. I mean, I would have to re. It's been a long time. It's a lot. So kudos to you for passing because that's a lot. And did you when you took the test, did you take it in an automatic or?
Yeah,
Oh,
I took it in a regular car.
Oh
I couldn't do it,
my God. I was gonna
honestly.
say, like, I give mad kudos to anyone that can do it in a stick shift, because no. I was like, I remember being terrified when I was getting my driver's license. So that's hard enough. I didn't need to have to worry about like an extra pedal and an extra
No.
and the speed. Like, no, I was good. So, oh, so that's good. So you got your license. So now forever, the rest of your life, people are gonna be like, oh, how was your driver's license? I got it while I was doing a television show. So like, that's cool. So you got to
Yes.
get that out there. So do you get to, are you gonna be able to drive the car now or like do more court
I
stuff?
drove it a little bit. I drove it a little bit throughout the seasons, like for like the simple stuff where we're just like kind of going straight or I'm pulling in. I definitely got better at the end. I could like go. I could do some of the stuff, but I definitely had some good stunting help on some of those scenes.
Okay, so we'll have to find something, or maybe we'll just do like, we'll do pranks or like just something crazy that you haven't
I'd
done.
love to do pranks with you. You seem like you've got a brain full of prank ideas.
Ideas. I think I've been around Jaren Jensen too long is the problem, but yeah, like we'll have to do pranks or something fun because like it was just funny because every single person was like, yeah, I haven't done this yet. I was like, oh, we'll do that. I'll come down. We'll do that. Like you haven't read, and I was like, Molly, we'll get you. You'll be best friends with the horse before I leave. I swear to you. And she's like, all right, we'll see. And I'm like, I promise. And then, you know, like I've been promised, I've been making a lot of promises here.
I'll join y'all on your horseback riding
Yes.
bonding ride.
How fun would
That's
that
awesome.
be? Yes. Well, that was the other thing, because riding together, like doing like.
Yeah, I want to do more horseback riding. I did some at the like the beginning like of season one and two, but I haven't done any this last season and I want to get back to it because it's so much fun.
So excited, and plus also getting to know all of you has been so much fun. So I'm like, I feel it would be fun. Like I would totally fit in, just cause chaos. So, yeah. So we'll have to do that. But, my other question, kind of fun question, I wanted to know who is your favorite to, and I know this is gonna be a hard question for you, but who's your favorite to work with other than Kale and Jared?
Oh gosh. That's so hard. So I love all the big family scenes because everyone's around. I will say I don't often get like alone scenes with Molly, but when I do, they're so much fun because she's such like a power force in acting and she's so natural. It's like I feel like I'm like soaking like everything I can up because she's so talented and she's such a hard worker and she knows everything about the script. She knows like what questions to ask, she knows like what's happening, she sees all the details and she keeps it in her brain and it's really impressive and I love watching her work.
So I second that. I like that. Getting back to the show, so the gray fa flag reveal happens. I had my panic attack, and like I had it alone, which is probably how you guys have it when you get your scripts, because like you can't tell anybody. So I had mine alone, and then the next episode, I was like, okay, Trey's still alive, thank Jesus, because I thought like, and then I was gonna like riot. I told Jeff, I was like, if Trey was out.
We talk about how badass Jeff is in these last couple of episodes?
Yes. What the
So
heck?
impressive, so amazing. I love seeing him as a ranger.
We talk about the fact that not only is Jeff, which by the way, I totally, when we first started, I was like, listen, people like demean girls all the time, so I'm just gonna do it. I was like, Jeff, you look good. Like you've been you put on like some, you know, like and he was like, he loved it, so it wasn't inappropriate. He loved it. But I was saying over the course of the show, which I was like, he should be a Ranger day one, and he was saying how Kobe was kind of pushing for that, but he has like kind of gone. He did one of my favorite scenes that you're in of all time. One of my favorite scenes I think of the show of all time was when you get lost in the like in the mountains, and so by the way, I've told everybody that. So I didn't tell you, FYI, that's one of my favorite scenes I think of all time of the show. And because I love, because everybody was kind of working together and everybody's panicking and everyone's trying to find you guys and all of those things. But to talk about Jeff, I was saying, Jeff, like this is not normal. First of all, you have like a gun shootout where you're not like, again, you have a military, the character has a military background, but there's a gun shootout where like Larry, Captain Larry is getting shot at and you avoid getting shot at and save his life. You're rappelling down a rope which I know wasn't as high. He kind of explained the whole situation, but he was still
Yeah, it
rappelling
was pretty
down
impressive.
to save you. So he does that. You have when he becomes a ranger, it's like 5 seconds in, he's hopping on a horse and chasing like a trailer and then jumping onto a trailer and doing stuff like that. And then you throw him in gray flag. And I was like, bigger, I kept saying that. I was like, I noticed you getting a little bigger as time's going on.
Some muscle.
Yeah, you put on a little muscle. I'm like, those shirts are getting tight, like at the top. You have the scenes where he's running marathons, with all the guys. And now you throw him in gray flag. And he's like climbing things and picking things up and doing like military style stuff with a guy that's not really has a military background. So what the heck? So yes, a lot of props to Jeff for that. So did you have when you were watching, were you like, holy shit? Like when you saw all the stuff that he was doing?
Well, he just looks so cool when he does it. Like it just like fits in so well, and he's such a great actor. He just looks so badass. It's amazing, and I feel like it fits just like perfectly. I'm so happy.
I know he looks so badass, and then I love he kind of explained too how he doesn't have to do the double belt thing. And when I spoke to Kobe, who's like super upset because Kobe was like, "We all have to deal with it, and it's annoying, and it hits into things, and it's," and I was saying, "Yeah, but like it makes sense because if he has a military background, you have all your stuff here. Like you have a vest, you have all."
Yeah.
Kind of, you have knives and things you could grab. To me, it made sense that he would have a holster. And I love the backstory they added to it and the
Yeah.
real meaning of it and the diversity and like all of the things that they kind of brought to it. But with seeing him in Gray Flag with him in that full kind of outfit that they put him in, I felt like was the most homage to like a military type look. And
Yeah.
for some reason, like Jeff just like it looks normal. Like it looked totally normal. Like he could like walk around like that and I wouldn't even think twice about it. Like
Yeah, no.
it was really good.
Yeah, I feel like this part just like fits him like a second skin. It's so cool to watch.
Yeah, it was really cool, especially when you're given like a challenge like that. Like you're playing you but not you, but you don't want to fool the audience that they're gonna hate you, but and like it's like you have so many caveats to do and he
Yeah.
just did it,
Does it
managed to do it.
flawlessly.
But you listen, you've done the same thing where there's been decisions that Stella has made and we don't hate her. And there's a reason for that. And I think it's the actor's choice or the actor's way of doing it. So like you might do something that's like where you're like, what are you doing? Or like, Gus having the party and you're like, what are you doing? Like
Yeah.
that's just stupid. Like your dad's gonna kill you and like whatever. But we don't hate you. We're not upset at you. It's more of, and it's because we care about these characters, and that's because of what you guys put into it. So we don't like get angry, if that makes sense. Or
Yeah.
I think the biggest test, I mentioned this, Kale said one of the hardest things, and I was going to ask you, one of the hardest things for Kale was to say bitch to what was one of the hardest things you had to do? Because I mean, there are scenes where you were screaming at Cordell, your dad,
Yeah.
saying horrible things. There's scenes where you're acting out. There's scenes where you're sort of, you didn't really technically cheat with the two guys, but there was a little bit of,
Gray area.
yeah, kind of sort of overlapping non-decision making happening. So there's been a lot of things, the car situation and then going off on your own with these guys that are super dangerous and trying to get your car back. So what's been something that you were like, oh, like you read it and you were like, oh no, I'm scared to do this.
Stella makes a lot of controversial decisions. She makes a lot of mistakes. I love Stella, and I think one of the things that makes her so interesting is because she makes these mistakes and all these like decisions that make some people like angry in her family or like lead to a lot of chaos because she's doing it out of like love and loyalty and wanting to help. So once like I realized, because there was a lot of things in the first season that she was doing like out of grief and just trying to like hold her family together, that I read and I was like, oh yikes. Like how am I gonna do that without it being really disastrous for her character? But once I recognize that it's all just because she's so passionately loyal to her family and so desperately wants to hold everyone together and make sure that they're okay. And it's like she's doing these things out of love and like a sense of helplessness and trying to help, that I was able to understand her better and then go at all of her decisions, focusing on that instead of her being like, oh, I'm just gonna do this rashly. Because it's not that. It's that she's very human and she's just struggling to find her way through it. Because I remember, I think there was a scene in first season with the car where she like crashes it into the hitching post because her dad was asleep and he was kind of out of it, and she was just desperately trying to like figure out a way to like help him through his grief and get him to like wake up and like hold her family together. And I think it probably was not the best decision in the world. But once I understood where she was coming from, I was like, oh, I can empathize with that. I can sympathize with that and know that she's just trying to figure her own way out. And she's doing it because she loves him and she loves her family.
Yeah, for that scene, I took it as like she wanted, and I feel like I would have done the same thing. I know it's not a good thing to do, but I feel like I would have done the same thing because to me, and again, I'm not the actor making the decision, but like, or like, obviously, or getting the scripts, but to me, it was like a cry for, I want my dad to pull out of it to be a dad. I want him to be pissed. I want him to come out and show me. Like, you love me, you care about me, get out of whatever you're in and be mad. I just smashed the car. Like, you know what I mean? So I feel like sometimes when you're like looking for that love and not that you're doubting it, but it's just you're in like this weird rut and he was in this horrible place. It's like, what can I do? And we feel like as kids, I think sometimes, and I still do this, I have parents, I still do it, where it's like, what can I do to help them? And although it doesn't sound like it's helping them, if I crash my car tomorrow, yeah, my parents are probably gonna care. They're probably, like whatever they're in, they're gonna drop and they're gonna come. So for me, that scene in particular, I thought was so well done because I think it was to say, like, wake up, like I'm here, I need you to care about me. I something could happen to me too. Like, so we need you back.
Definitely. It was kind of like a cry being like, I've only got one parent left. Like, be here and just like they both needed like a wake up call, and she thought this was the only way through it.
Well, I love that scene.
But
I'm gonna go back to Kevin and
yes.
that crazy flip. We stopped and Jeff will love that. I'll have to text Jeff and be like, by the way, we talked about how good looking you were and how great you were. So he'll love that. But we got side. I'm like, Jeff, you sidetracked us. But with the gray flag stuff and the reveal, and then kind of like the takedown of gray flag ish, because. You got like when I was talking to Molly, I think at that point we were like, well, you got Walker. At that point, he was handcuffed to a table. You have like Cooper, who's like MIA. You had Kevin getting taken down. Like it was just like it was chaos. So the last episode that aired, I think I'll go with the one that I know for sure aired. So that so if something else has aired since then, don't at me. But was Walker on the run? So he's on the run. He's fine. There's an explosion. The journalist has he's kind of on the run so that he's not because people are looking at him. They're trying to blame things on him. I think there was a scene. There was a great scene with Jared siphoning gas. Which by the way, I was watching that episode when it aired with my dad. He had come over and my dad was like, oh, like back in the day, he's like, we used to do that. I'm like, Dad, that's illegal. Like, don't like share that. My dad was like, yeah, we used to do that as kids. And I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, like if you really, because I think I was talking and I think out loud, I just went, I wonder if that works. And then my dad was like, oh, no. He's like, it does. He's like, I used to,
Oh my
oh,
God.
my dad used to do it.
Now you're an accomplice.
I would accomplish this to it. But yeah, so he's basically on the run and like dealing with it. And then we have the intro of Jerry, which we haven't seen in a long time, which was so great. I was so happy about that. We have the great scene with you, with Stella answering the phone and getting the message, which was really fun. Because I'm not gonna lie to you, that message was the most non-message message. Like I was like, what is she saying, and how is Stella supposed to know she's saying something? Like I was like confused, and like, and she said it a few times, and so what? And I think because she kept saying like Barnum's name, like because she kept saying it, I think is when like your character goes okay, because like she looks over and then they shoot over to Mitch, like yeah, because I was like, that's like the least message. Like I was like, what the hell is she trying to tell her to do? Like I know she's trying to say like he's alive and to come here, but she's not saying anything
Saying
that makes
that.
sense. Bottom, like, take off, show up with a gun, which by the way, if I ever saw Mitch holding a gun coming at me, I'm running.
Run.
Yeah, I'm running.
No way am I standing my ground.
Yeah, I'm out. But I just find it so funny because that scene, she, like Molly was dying because I said it's just so funny to me that like he shows up and I'm assuming, and I said, we don't see this, but I'm assuming he tells everybody he's alive because we don't see that. So we don't know. So question mark. But I said, I'm assuming before he leaves, he's like, hey, by the way, your dad's alive and like
All
alive.
good.
But he shows up to the house holding, coming armed. And there's like random SWAT people or whoever the hell is coming after Cordell. And like he's just like knocking them out, like one by one. And I was like, wow, like he just doesn't miss. But I just love it when they see each other, and then he goes, daddy, and then he's like, I got this, go in. Like and like they just separate, and it's just normal that his dad's outside like shooting people, and then he's in the house or whatever. But that was kind of like where we kind of ended things.
Okay.
I think the episode has aired since then, which kind of pushes the story a little further. But I wanted to ask you what you can tease, because there are, so if 14 aired, which would be more than what I just said, that would leave two episodes left. So what can you tease on the final two? It has, and I've been giving everyone a gift, which is what everyone said before you. So you get the gift of the hardest one, I think, was Kel, because Kel was first. So Kel said heart. There's a lot of heart. Jeff
Yes.
went on like a little bit of a ramble. It was like heart, family, the reemergence of someone. And I was like, Jeff, I was like, you can't say it. I was like, you can't say it. So like I waited. I didn't put that out because I was like, oh my gosh, like you're basically saying like what other character would come back? I mean, come on. So I was like, I can't put that up. So I waited. But he was like, so I have to put that episode up. But he was like, the reemergence of someone. He said some like arguments with someone might not think of. So I was like, okay. And I think people now know what that means. And he's like, but I really like heart. And then Kobe said, not everything is like what it seems, and like there's a lot more to come and a lot of drama. And he's like, and I feel like, he kind of like, and I don't remember if it was like on while we were recording or not, but he was just saying like, lots gonna happen in the like those last two episodes. And Molly said, at first she didn't remember, so we were laughing. She was like, I don't even know. She's like, I don't remember what I feel. And I was like, well, like this is where we were. So then she just kind of gave kind of like similar kind of under the same undertones of like family and the importance of family, loss and like things like that. So I think she said, and I think somebody, I won't say who it is because I'll be wrong, somebody said tragedy or something too. But so with all of that knowledge, see, so I'm trying to help you a little bit. What are some of the things you could tease for the final two episodes that are set to air?
There's definitely a lot of family, a lot of love, a lot of questions and cliffhangers, and you learn a lot. There's a lot of stuff coming up from the past.
Okay, that's a good one. That's a good one. I always feel like if someone asked me that, I'd be like, I don't know what to say because like I've seen it, so I don't know. I don't want to give anything away. That's
I know,
the
I'm so
one.
scared.
I know. I get like nervous asking because I'm always like, I don't want someone to like give it
You
away.
give like the vaguest word and you're like mystery. And I'm like, they're gonna figure out what it is.
I know. Or like I said, when I was talking to, and I went like that, and I was like, oh, don't do like quotes, don't do anything, because then people will take it away. And I'm like, no, I'm not saying anything. So that's what we have coming up. What is going on with our renewal? Why do we not know what's happening? So people that have heard all of my interviews have heard about the letter of intent that comes out June 30th. I kind of gave a little bit of behind the scenes background that people might not be aware of as an actor, because I'm on sets all the time. So as an actor, I know that you have to legally get that, which shows that you're continuing. I don't know if you've received it yet, but by like legal standards, has to go out by the end of June. So because people were asking me like, when would we know? When, and I said you would know at least by then legally. But we have not heard an announcement. I do not have a press release. So what is going on? Do we know anything at this point? Any update?
I show up and I say lines and I put on makeup and cute clothes. I don't know. I mean, like, I'm very hopeful. I mean, Walker's such a great show. I feel like people really connect to it, so I'm very hopeful, but we'll see. I haven't heard anything.
Okay, so nothing. This isn't a poker face. I'm trying to like watch your face. So nothing. We've
Not
heard nothing.
that I know of.
Okay.
Ask the people above me. They'll probably know.
Ask the people. I know. Well, I'm hoping, and this is my other gut instinct, and I hope I'm not wrong, but today is April 11th. So Upfronts happens in May. If the CW slash Nextstar, I don't know what they're calling themselves, but whatever. If they do their upfront, that would usually is in the beginning of May, which means that they a lot of times they fly all of the actors in and you guys do a whole spiel for the advertisers, all the fun, businessy stuff that you guys have to do. So that would have to be planned soon. So I'm thinking that you'll know this month, but that's just.
I think we're supposed to know something sort of soonish, like hopefully in a few weeks or so, but that's about all I know.
Okay, so I'm keeping my fingers crossed. I feel like you guys are fine, but I will
So.
feel better when I hear it.
Just like the certain mark.
Right? But yeah, like you'll feel better. So I'm going to end with, if you have time, I tweeted out that I was talking to you, and I got a
Nice.
bunch of fan questions. So I usually do like a rapid fire kind of thing. So if you're interested, if you have a few
Absolutely.
minutes. All right, so let's see. And I did a cool picture of you. I wish everybody, I pick cool photos because, gotta represent. So I picked your really cool walker. I'll see if you could see this. Your walker back.
Oh, fun. Yeah.
I tried to pick like a badass photo. I was going through, I was like, where she looks like really badass.
Where does she look fierce?
Okay, so let's see. And what's so funny is I feel like I ask a lot of fan related questions because I am a fan. So sometimes I'm like, oh, I already asked this, or I asked that already. Oh, this is a good one. Okay, so at Swifty Cordell, and then the display name is Fall Season Rihanna said, do you have a favorite moment that happened between you and Jared?
Ooh. Well, Swifty Cordell. I think honestly, I really enjoyed the scene, and I think it was in episode 3 of season 3 after the whole carjacking thing, and when me and August come home. And we have the car, and Cordell catches us, and we go inside. And at first, he's really angry, and then at the end, there's kind of like a coming together where Stella's like, I don't know if I want to go to college because it just felt so small after he was kidnapped. I loved filming that scene because I felt like me, Jared, and Kale really connected, and at that end of the scene, it was such like a nice like healing moment between the two characters, and I felt like as a like on a personal level, I feel like everybody felt that when we were filming, and it was just really nice, so I really cherished that scene.
Good answer. Let's see. A bunch of people are asking, multiple people have asked, what your favorite outfit that you've worn, Estella?
Oh, that's so hard. They're so cute. Oh goodness. Okay. So I think the outfit that I love boots. Like boots are where I never feel better than in a pair of good boots. And there's these like brown ones. I think I wore them for the, I only wore them for a split second for the horse, like where we were talking to the horse lady about the me and Keegan and Mitch and Molly at the sidestep. It was these like brown boots and the skirt and then this t-shirt with like a handkerchief around the neck. I loved it. I love boots.
Speaking of that, have you stolen anything? Because Kale showed me that he stole some boots. So, did you steal anything?
I see all these actors leave with like little like cool outfits or like cool little like tokens from their like costumes. And I'm like, how do you get those? I want one so bad. I want to take something, but I don't know how to do it.
I know, because well, this is what I try to explain to people too. Because again, a lot of people don't like live on a set, and again, I don't live on a set, but I've been on them enough to know that when people come in, so because people always go, "Oh, it must be so easy," and I'm like, "No, it's not," because like, for example, if Violet's on the call sheet and she comes in and you go to your trailer, when you open the door and you walk in your closet are the clothes you're wearing for the day, and then you put them on, you change, right? You go do your thing. You're done, and you're supposed to put them back on the hanger. You go back into your regular clothes and then leave. Sometimes before you leave, they even come and will take it, and they kind of like check it, like to make sure like all your stuff.
And I never know if they're gonna need it in the future for like continuity. And so
Right.
then I'm like just scared to like take something because
I
every once
know,
in a while.
I know. And like, well, because so many people go, "Oh, it must be like so simple." And I go, "No, but they like look at them." So like, it is nerve-wracking to just be like, "Do I take this?" And like, just act like it went missing, or like I don't know what to do. So you haven't stolen anything yet. So we'll have to
Not
figure
yet.
out a way.
Oh, I did see I stole one
Okay.
I stole one button that said like Walker for 80 or like Liam Walker for 80 when he was running the election.
Oh,
I stole
yeah.
one button. I was very impressed with myself. I snuck it into my pocket. I felt like a
You were,
thief.
and then you walked out with it. Okay, so you got something.
I took that.
Yeah, I feel like the best bet of taking something. I know people take a lot of clothes, which I don't know how they do. I guess it's in between. I guess it's like when you take it off, and then before they come to get it, someone just like runs. I don't know, but I
Just
feel like, yeah, like I feel like the easier thing to steal, which not saying that I've ever done this on any set that I've been on, but is stuff. That's like
like
the
set deck.
yes. Like, not that, again, not that I've done this before, but if there's been like a folder or like an envelope or like paper, there's been a few times where I was kind of like, you know,
Nice looking
silly
book.
me. Yes.
Just put it in the bag.
Yeah, exactly. So like I think that's an easier an entry into stealing is easier when it's like a set situation. And
You
I
can start there. You can
yeah.
advance to close later on.
Yeah, like we can like klepto later, but like I think that's the turn into a storyline. Oh, chaos. Okay, let's see. You got a lot of messages, by the way, of how great you are. So we have a couple people that said, Stella's my favorite character. I love her so much. Thank you. She's so fantastic on the show. Stella's such a fun character. Love seeing her and August together. You guys make such great siblings. Someone else said, "Why don't we see more of Stella?" With question, like with exclamation points. So let's manifest that out there. We want more
Yeah,
scenes.
put that out.
Yeah, we want more scenes. Someone else said, "Violet, you were so fantastic as Stella. Love you so much." And then added, "Is there anything specific you do to change from Violet into Stella?"
Oh, well, first of all, that's very sweet. I love you all. Secondly, I journal a lot to like kind of get into her mindset and try to put myself into the emotions and the situations that she's feeling. And then once you're on set and you're surrounded by everybody, it's really easy to take that and take the backstory and like the emotional stuff and and bring it forward because everybody's so present. So it just kind of brings it out.
Someone else asked, oh, this is a good question. Have you ever wanted to fully change your hair? So like as Stella, like just like totally radically against your dad's wishes, just like come in and have
Just
like your hair
shave it all off.
totally different color, like something crazy.
Yeah, I think Stella, like as an act of rebellion, would have like chopped her hair like short or like dyed it purple, like strips of it purple. I feel like I could see her doing that.
That would have been awesome. Would you ever do it personally, or do you like your like long hair?
I like having long hair because it's more manageable because my hair is so thick. But like I'm always down for like changing my hair. Like, I want to dye a blonde at one point or like cut it short. Like, I would do that. I'm kind of down to try.
Okay, let's see. We'll get like one or two more in here. There's a lot of love for you. That's what I'm scrolling through. There's like so many, like not questions. It's more of like they just love you.
Oh,
Love,
that's so
love
nice.
Stella. Stella's my favorite. Let's see. Okay, so what, this is a good one. Someone asked, what is your favorite moment that's happened between Stella and August?
Oh. I don't think it's aired yet, honestly. There's a couple of moments in like one specific scene near the end of this season. It hasn't come out yet, but it's a scene where August is having a lot of trouble. He's confused about where he wants to go, and like summer's starting, and Stella comes and she like gives him advice from the stuff and like the things that she has gone through and being confused and like not wanting to go to college and then like trying to figure out her way. And she gives him advice from like the wisdom and experience she's gained from going through all of her chaotic stuff. And I think it's a really nice moment between the two siblings of seeing that transference of like, I get where you are and like I understand, but like trust me, like take a minute and breathe. And I think it's really sweet to see them connect on that level.
I love that scene, by the way. I know exactly what you're talking about. Someone else. Okay, so someone else asked, this is a good question because we haven't really talked about it that much, but somebody asked, what are some of your favorite scenes with Liam? And do you have any funny stories with Keegan?
I love working with Keegan. Keegan's a me and Keegan get along because we're both nerds and we love to read. So I will say getting to do the scenes in first season when he got shot and getting to do like all like the doctoring and like the brand and stuff was so much fun because there was like blood and there was like tension and drama, and then it was such like a blast because we just hung out and had fun. So those that scene was really great, and then getting to have them really bond over the horse rescue and see them have like a goal and purpose together and see that connection kind of thrive in that relationship, thrive and delve a little bit more into that because they're very close, like Stella and Liam, through everything that they've been through. So it was really fun getting to cultivate that more this season.
And I love the two of them together. Let's see. So what can I end with? Oh, okay, this is a perfect question. Okay, so someone asked, although we don't have a renewal for season for a new season, it says #renew Walker. They would like to know, where would you like to see Stella in next season if you got to choose?
Ooh. Well, I will say that there's a lot of drama that goes on in the last episode of this season that really sets up for a good season four. So everything that happens in the last episode, I would really like to explore that because there's a bunch of questions, there's a bunch of drama and tension, and I think it could go to some very interesting places, especially for Stella.
I know. I wish right now I could be like, what do you think about but again, I'll have to message you and be like, all right, let's discuss. Let's discuss. I have questions.
I do too.
I have a lot of questions, not even just about Stella. I have a lot of questions, just like overall. And it ended, and I was like, I think this is okay to say. I hope I don't get myself in trouble. Well, this will air after the two episodes. So it ended, and I was like,
It's a
wait,
lot.
what? That was my response. And then I was like, no, like I have so many questions. And like now I'm waiting. So yeah, I wish I could be like, can you answer the following?
Waiting too. I want to know what happens.
I have so many questions. I think Molly said, because I told Molly I would put hers up after too. Molly said that she like gasped and was kind of like, what?
Yeah.
That was her response. It was like, what? And I was like, I know, like, yeah, like, yes, I know, I get you. So that was her reaction. Did you have like an initial like, seriously, or like, oh my God, when you read that, like the last scene, that last.
It was like an oh my God, like what is gonna happen with like exclamation points. That was my reaction because I didn't expect it. I was not prepared.
Yeah, that was me. I was just like I think I cursed like out loud. Like I was like, what? And I was like, what? Then I'm like, huh? And since then, I have, and again, I'm like, this will air after anyway, but I'm not giving anything away. But I more questions keep coming up in my brain too, because then you start spiraling. Because I'm like, well, what about this? And like, what about this character? And then how's this gonna happen? And it's like, what are they airing the next episode?
I
Like
know.
that, because I want to know. But well, those were all the fan questions. Fans love you. I got so many questions sent to me, so I'm
Love them.
so I like to usually end with, which I don't want to end, but we've been on forever. This is what keeps happening, by the way. Everybody tells me, and I just want to state for the record, for anyone listening, every single person from Winchester's Walker to Walker Independence has been the nicest cast member known to man, and every single person has gone, I have plenty of time. And I'm going, okay, I'll do like 30 minutes. And every single one of you has gone like 2 hours long because we get so invested in it. And so I appreciate everybody for giving so much time and going into it. But I swear it's not me. I swear I'm not forcing them, but we just get
No,
really
we're hearing our own volition.
into it. I'm not holding them to it, I promise. But we just get so invested in it. And I'm so invested in the characters and in your process. And I'm just always asking questions. So we went super long. So I'm sorry. But I would like to ask you one final question, which is just you have a ton of fans, the people that love you. There's people that love Stella, right? Sometimes people don't, they confuse the two, right? Violet and Stella, Stella and Violet. I mean, sometimes you are merged a little bit anyway, but people love you. There are a million questions sent to you. So for those that don't get to talk to you, like me, and get to hound your people for an interview and talk to you for 2 hours about all the fun stuff and how we're gonna steal stuff. What would you like to say to fans that just love you? They watch you week to week. They're hashtagging like, Renew Walker. They cannot wait for a new season. We're crossing our fingers and are just like ready to be all in once that announcement comes out.
Honestly, that I love them so much. I'm so appreciative of them and their support because we could not do this show without people who were so invested and cared so much and were so supportive. Like, we do this because we want to connect with them and we couldn't make a show without them. So thank you so much for allowing us the opportunity to get to play around and have fun. And to portray these characters and this story, which means so much to us, and that they mean a lot to us too, because they're why we do it.
Well, that is it. That is, you survived. You survived the Walker, the rundown. But
Was so much fun.
oh my gosh, I loved having you on. I'm so happy because everyone said so many amazing things about you. And now after meeting you, not only do I feel less than 30, like I'm like, oh, I'm like young again. Like I feel young talking, but like now I'm like super excited because I have like a girl like pal that I can come down and like party with
Absolutely.
and have fun with. So I'm like so excited.
Yeah.
So, it's been so great getting to like know you and meet you and do this. And I just appreciate you taking the time out because it's a long, long time to talk about the show, but to be so excited and talk about it and answer fan questions and just go through.
No, thank you. I had a blast, and thank you for talking to me for 2 hours. I enjoyed it.
Well, thank you. So I hope you have a great rest of the day.
Hope you guys enjoyed listening to Violet talk about what it was like playing Stella Walker, giving some hints of some upcoming episodes, some fun stories about working with Jared, and of course, what it was like when Jensen came on to direct a couple of episodes of the show. It was so much fun to hear all of her behind the scenes stories, and of course, some pranks and ideas that we have coming up. So hopefully we'll be able to do that. We're keeping our fingers crossed for a renewal announcement soon. So make sure you go and check out the show if you haven't already. New episodes air Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the CW. If you're behind, head over to the CW app where you can stream all of the episodes for free. And don't forget to hit the subscribe button so you're updated on all of our latest podcasts. And head over to our YouTube channel, hit subscribe so you're updated on all of our video content.